Okay, so let's get to it. Okay, so the Gemara had introduced this notion that it's at least possible that the reason that it was forbidden to make mugmar on Shabbos, to make this incense on Shabbos, the Gemara had gone through a few iterations of the possibilities that it's a problem of havara or a problem of kibuy, of igniting or putting out the flame. And then in the middle of the discussion, the Gemara said, no, it's a problem of molid. It's a problem of this sort of amorphous dirabanan concept of creating.
That's the concept of yes, no, maybe.
Yes, exactly. So we said, that was what we did last time, was that it's yes, no, maybe. Right? Does this exist? So Rashi says yes. Rashi says it's usur. We pass in l'halacha. There's something called molid. You can't create something new on Shabbos. The Rif and the Rambam say, no, it's not true. That was only a Havamina. That was brought up in the middle of a discussion. But the Gemara before that and after that framed the entirety of the discussion in the context of Mavir and Mechaba in terms of igniting. And no, we reject it. We don't have such a thing. And then you have so you have those who are just possibly the Rif that Mola doesn't exist. You have those who are possibly Rashi that it does exist. But then we saw that Ravadia said, well, and he noted from the Rishon LeSion, on the one hand, the Rambam doesn't believe it exists. On the other hand, Shulchan Aruch seems to believe that it exists. And therefore, Svardim should believe that it's suffix exists, right? And we shouldn't be makil b'pshitas. We shouldn't just say it's mutter. But if there are complicating factors, if there's any suffix, so then we could be more makil because maybe it probably really doesn't exist. Now, if it does exist, what does it mean? So we saw it to Machlokas, Rashi, and the Meiri, whether Molid is about creating something new or about infusing a new quality into something which is pre-existent. Right? Rashi thought that Molid is creating something new, and the problem was creating the scent. The Meiri said that the problem was that you were infusing the scent into the Mecheres and to the piece of clay, we're just reviewing, we haven't done anything yet, into the clay, and that's the problem of molid. We noted that this creates somewhat of a problem with the difference between this and Makir Patish, which is also some sort of amorphous, creative thing. It could be a difference of degree, it could be that maybe Makir Patish is what Rashi thinks molid is, and molid is what the Meiri thinks molid is. Right, that Makir Patish is creating something new and Molid is infusing a new quality into something, who knows? But this is one of those standing problems, is that once you make Molid too broad and you make Makir Patish too broad, as we mentioned Rav Asher Weiss does, in the context of electricity, what the distinction is between them is pretty difficult to figure out. So that was where we were up to last week, and we noted that this issue is extremely important halachically. For many, many reasons, for electricity, for making ice on Shabbos, for using ice on Shabbos, for making whipped cream on Shabbos, all types of shilas come up, all having to do with this wonderful amorphous category of molid, which may or may not even exist. So, great. Fine. So, we were up to number 8. The Mogen Avraham... one more point which we noted, and we'll see this again in the Mogen Avraham, was that molid is only when you create something new or infuse a new quality. But what's explicit in the Gemara is, the Gemara says that making this mugmar, making this incense is asur, but taking a flower and, breaking it between your fingers to enhance the smell, right, to release the smell, is mutter, from which the Shulchan Aruch Rav derives, and this is the standard psak, that molid, whatever it means, can only be usher if you're creating something new, not if you're increasing the quantity of something which already exists. So that's where we pick up Mogen Avraham. The Mogen Avraham says, "Vaser lischol." Says, "V'afal gavdem muter limlo lasavim." Even though you are allowed to break, the flowers, the grass between your fingers. Said, "Dahasam recha miha isa ve'asufehu dekamosif." Like we saw the Shulchan Aruch Rav, there's a difference between increasing quantity you're allowed to do and creating something new, which you're not. The ein lahavi raya mikan de beget shemiriach kvar muter legion of besamim shiariach yoser. But he qualifies this that even when we say that you can increase the quantity, don't think that you could take clothing that had once had perfume in it, had once had whatever you put in it to give it a scent, and you can put more. The shiny hachad shiariach husham rak shemosifo bimili laso shiyotza hareach. Masha'in kein beveged, and we call Malcolm Mosif Rea Chadash. He makes it very, 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 you know, nitpicky distinction, but it's important, right? He said, when you take a flower and you break it between your fingers, the smell of the flower exists, and you're just releasing more of it, right? That's called increasing quantity. But let's say you have a piece of clothing, and it has a scent in it, and it's starting to wear out, so you add more to it. So you might say, well, I'm just increasing the quantity. But that's not really true. What you're doing is you're just adding a new layer of a new smell, right? The fact that the old smell is there and fading doesn't mean that what you're doing now is not the act of adding something new. There's a difference between taking something that exists and enhancing it sort of from within, right? Which is, you know, breaking up the flower so its own smell is released, rather than adding a new smell. The fact that this piece of clothing technically still smells from the old smell doesn't change the fact that the act that you're doing is adding something new externally rather than releasing something from within. And he thinks that is molid. So we do have to be careful that even when we talk about this increase in quantity, right, the line between what counts as increasing in quantity and what means increasing in quality or adding something new is very, very, very thin.
Is he talking about introducing a new source for the smell, or is he talking about keeping the same coat in the same place and absorbing the
it
same
It sounds like
smell?
It's the same scent, right? It sounds like it.
Had last week,
whether the smell is the same or not, doesn't sound like it makes a difference,
right?
Because you're adding a new...
Right. I mean, that's what he's saying. It sounds like it's even the same smell. I mean, a new smell, I would say that's obvious, right? Or more obvious.
Right, but this is, Mugmar, you're allowed to put more stuff in started already, right?
Well, yeah, but that's the, you know...
But why is that different?
You can't. Right, that's not explicit in the Gemara, right? The Gemara just says you can be molel, right? You can break up that flower, but you can't... The Gemara Aser is mugmar, right? He assumes that means even adding more of the same, right? Right, I mean, that's what... It's not totally clear in the Gemara, but that's what he assumes. And then he says, when we come back, Esther Shem Munach and Rav Yom Tov. What? So Shulchan Aruch Harav. I mean, that doesn't get into this. There's the Shulchan Aruch. Sorry.
You're right.
The Shulchan Aruch seems to challenge it inexplicitly this case, right? Where he says, no, adding that is indeed... So, right, you're right. In principle, Magen Avraham and Shulchan Aruch agree that adding quantity doesn't count, but they argue in this case, right? Adding an external thing, the Shulchan Aruch seems to say even that's mutter because it's not something wholly new. That seems to be right. It sounds that way. Yeah. So that may make a difference later on, but we'll see. And the Magen Avraham then continues, Mikol Makom Esrog Shemunach Merav Yom Tov Al Abegev Not Lo Mutzal Lachzirim B'Yom Tov Deino Mereach Yoser B'Shvil Kach. But he says, for sure, what you could do is if you had like an Esrog that was sitting on something and it was giving, you know, a scent into something and you took it off for a minute, that's not called adding something new. Like, you know, it's only like when you... Magen Avraham is trying to make these very fine distinctions. Like, if you add something new, not like it was absorbing from that same esrog, I'm not really sure where he draws the line. And then he also says, "Upashad also litin davar hamiriach l'tochamayim k'desharichu k'moshen ogin k'sas lasos litol yidei kohanim." And we've already seen this in Rav Avadia quoted this, that you can't create sort of perfumed water. Okay. This is all sugya 1, but there's another sugya which may or may not have anything to do with molid. No one ever said this sugya was easy, but whatever. Next sugya that might or might not have to do with molid is the Gemara in Shabbos Nun Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara says as follows: Ve'ein mirazkin lo'as ha'shelag ve'lo'as ha'barad b'Shabbos. You aren't allowed to crush snow or ice or hail on Shabbos. B'shvi'el she'ezuvel meimav, in order to get water. I will no sin hu l'toch ha'koz o l'toch ha'arav ino choshesh. I should have taken out Hadron Loch Vemet Omnet, but sure. Okay, now you've finished Vemet Omnet.
Yeah, but
right?
We have a party now.
Exactly. The last line of Vemet Omnet, but you're allowed to put it in a cup, and that's not a problem.
Favorite
hill
every day,
but
the last
one. Yeah, exactly. So there's this halakha, right? You can't crush up snow on Shabbos. Now, why is that usher? So there's three positions in Rishonim. The Rambam, as we've already seen, doesn't seem to believe in molid, and therefore, except in one case, which we haven't gotten to, but that's fine. The Rambam says that this halakha is a subset of the malacha of tochein. Right? It's a subset of the malacha of grinding. Right? It's a derabanan. Right? It's not deraisa. But just like you can't grind, you know, grain on Shabbos, and midrabanan, you can't grind up snow. Right? So that's what the Rambam says in 10. Kvashin ishlacha shesachtan im l'racheich gufon mutter mehotzim imein asur. Right? He brings all these halachot about, you know, cooked foods and fruits and stuff like that. And in that context, he says, v'ein meraskin es ha'shelik shezivu meimav. And you're not allowed to crush up ice, but you're allowed to crush it into a cup. Now why is that true? So it seems like, you know, you can't...
That goes further than the Gemara. Right? And the Gemara says just put it in.
Right, and the Rambam... Right, the Rambam takes it one step further. Right, the Rambam... Right, the Gemara didn't explicitly say you could do that. The Rambam says that you can't crush up ice to get water, but you can do it into food or into a cup, presumably with food already in there, because just like we have, you know, this is the old thing, right? If you want to put, if you want to prevent violating lush, right? You know, you want to prevent whatever. You know, when you put, how do I do this? If you want to prevent not lush, if you want to prevent sochet, right, on Shabbos, and you want to put lemon juice, let's say, in your tea, so what do? Some of you think you can have tea. Right, assuming you're going to have tea or whatever you're putting lemon into, so we say don't squeeze the lemon into the tea, because then you're being sochet. You're taking a solid, you're making it into a liquid. What do? You squeeze it into the sugar, because if you're squeezing from a lemon into the sugar, so the liquid never was independent. It's considered squeezing from a solid into a solid, and that's not sochet. And then you can put the sugar into the tea, right? So the Rambam basically conceptualizes this the same way. You can't grind up snow so that water will come out in a vacuum, because that's called grinding. But if you take snow, you know, or you take an ice cube and you put it inside your cup of water and you crush it up, so, you know, it's not becoming water, like it went straight in, like, you know, it's already in water, it's already water, right? So then you're allowed to crush it up in the food or something like that. We'll see, not everyone's comfortable with the active crushing, but the Rambam himself seems to say you can. But at any rate, the Rambam thinks it's a subset of tochein. Rashi, Kedarko Bakodesh, says, no, it is molid. Kedesh Yizu, Meimav, it's usher, Mishum Dekam Molid B'Shabbos. The problem is that you're creating something new. You're taking ice and you're making water. V'dami L'melacha Shebore Hamayim Ailo. And like you said before, it's like Malacha because you're creating water.
Forget about the grinding for a second. If you just took from outside snow and took it inside where it's warm and it melted on its own...
We're going to get to it.
But according to Rashi, that should be usher.
According to Rashi, it might be usher if you think that's active enough, and that's going to be the key. Right? But what we'll see is that the post will assume that according to Rashi, it can only be usher if it's considered an act. What counts as an act is not totally clear. That may or may not count. But that's going to be the machlokas, right? Is that there clearly is a line at which, right, it's not called an act, right? Meaning, you know, l'dugma, right? Everyone agrees that it's not usher to, you know, Shabbos comes and you have ice cubes sitting on the table. You don't have to put them in the freezer to prevent them from melting, right? That's not called an act, right? You don't have to make sure that it's in the coldest part of the house to prevent it from, you know, right, as we'll see, that'll be important.
But that's a separate issue. There is, I'm not sure whether it's a secret race or not, but you want to stay ice cubes, you don't want it to melt.
I understand, but my point is that, we'll see, don't worry, we're going to see that, but you're right, meaning the postgame are going to know that according to Rashi, right, there has to be a line. Where the line is not totally clear. You could argue that it's simply taking ice cubes out of the freezer, right, is molid, right, but maybe not, because maybe there you really want it to remain ice, right, you want to put it in your... Right, and that's exactly what they're arguing about, and they're going to argue about it both taking ice cubes out and using them, and making ice cubes on Shabbos. They're also going to argue about it, but that's going to be the machlokas. But we'll come to that in just a minute. The third possibility, which may or may not be the same as the second possibility, is the Sefer HaTruma. The Sefer HaTruma says, "Ein marazkin es hashelag v'sabarad, aval nosin l'tocha ka'arav eino choshesh." Right, you're not allowed to crush it up, but you can just put it in the plate, and that's fine. Aser l'ma'ich hashelag, but you can't crush it, v'al asos etzalul, k'momayim v'pnei shehu nolad, because it's nolad. Now, some people understand that Sefer HaTruma is saying the exact same thing as Rashi, right? That molad, right, he's just saying it's nolad, it's the result rather than the act. But that's probably not what he means. The way most poskim understand it is that he means it's nolad, right? Nolad is a category of muktzah, right? That you can't benefit from things which are new on Shabbos. Now, according to Sefer HaTrumos, it doesn't seem to be a problem of molad, that you can't create something new. The problem with creating something new is that then you won't be able to benefit from that which was new. Now, as all the poskim know, the big nafkamina is, I mean, all the poskim, Shulchan Aruch notes this in just a second, the big nafkamina is, what if it happens, right, passively, right? According to the Rashi and the Rambam, there has to be some sort of active component. According to the Sefer HaTrumos, it doesn't, right? The problem is that you can't, now he also has some line, right, but fundamentally he thinks that the problem is nolad. Right, that you can't benefit from something new. Now, why, according to the Sefer HaTruma, are you allowed to put ice into a cup? Because it's not even nolad. Because since as the ice melts, it's not recognizable because it melts straight into the water that it's in. So we say it's not even nolad. It's not doesn't register as something new. But the Sefer HaTruma is going to be much more expansive in his prohibition of this. Shulchan Aruch in 13 summarizes it and says, "Mutar litein in pada keneged ha'esh b'makom shayatza ledes." You are allowed to put a in pada, it's like what's it called? Like a, I don't know, a quiche type thingy. I don't know. Next to near the fire, avav bishashuman shaban shenikras choser v'nimoach. Even if it's going to cause the oil or the fat that started to congeal to liquefy, that's not a problem, right? That's not considered enough of a change, right? Right, to put them near the heat, to allow something congealed to become a full liquid, we don't count that. And then the Rama says, Hagav, the kol shekein kedei rashiyesh ba rotev shenikrash, shashuma nimoach eino be'en deshari. And for sure, a pot which has, congealed gravy, that's not a problem. But he notes v'yesh machmirin, but there are some who are machmir. Now, who is this person who's machmir? Who thinks that you can't even bring about a situation where put something near heat such that the gravy is going to liquefy? It's the Sefer HaTruma, because the Sefer HaTruma thinks this is a problem of nolad. And he notes the yesh machmirin v'noagula hachmir miu b'makom tzorech yesh lismoch hasvar rishona. So what does the Rama say? Mikra din, we're not worried about nolad. What we think this really is molid, right? Is really we paskin in sugya 2, like Rashi again, that there's this problem of creating something new. But he notes that lechumra we are machmir to not even allow a situation which you bring about something new being created. So there are people who will tell you that, therefore, lichatchila, if you bring out ice, you're allowed to bring out ice. For sure you're allowed to bring it out because you want to use it. And anything that happens there is psikresh, is not even psikresh. Dover shem miskaven, doesn't matter. But there are people who will tell you that you should pour your cup of water and put the ice in the water rather than put the ice in the cup and then pour the water in. Because, right, if you put the ice in first, then there's that few seconds where you're allowing it to melt before, and that's recognizable. And that's also according to the Sefer HaTruma. Now, others might tell you it doesn't matter if it's a difference of 1 second, nothing's going to happen. But there are poskim will say, no, we're machmir lechatchila, like, and that's what it means, right? When the Gemara says that, no sin hu l'tocha kos, l'tocha ka'ara, v'enachoshesh is only when you put it into food, not when you put it in, Yeah. Now, I don't want to get into all the details of this sugya, because there are a lot of sugya details in terms of the Rambam sheet of, you know, how much do you have to actively crush it and things like that. But I want to focus on the nolid issue. The molid issue, rather. So, the Gemara says, whatever it is, you're not allowed to crush ice, because that's molid. So what about the opposite? Can you make ice, right? This is one of the very prominent sugyas halacha l'maisa with molid. Are you allowed to make ice cubes on Shabbos? Now, here, I'll be honest, I was surprised when I went back to look at it, because, you know, I mean, you look at most English books, they'll tell you, you really shouldn't make ice cubes. The consensus of the post-skim is you can make ice cubes, right? Almost unanimous is that it's probably mutter. Maybe. Basically, the way it appears in all post-skim, it's probably mutter. The Dov Meisharim is the one who says it's asher. We'll see that in just a second. Most post-skim say it's mutter. But, like, if you don't have to do it, don't do it. But that means if you ran out of ice cubes, you can do it. It's just like try to make them before Shabbos. That's basically what the post-skim come out is, that it's mutter. Now, the Dovid Meisharim says it's Aser. Why do you think most poskim would say it's Mutter, then? We'll see this in Shmir Shabbos. This is what Howie said before, right? Is that it sounds like something, in order for something to be molded, there has to be something active, right? Ein Mirazgen, right? You can't crush it. You can't put the Mugmar on the fire, right? But passive actions, right, allowing something to happen by itself seems to be mutter.
How is it different than putting something on the fire?
So, the what we'll see in Shmir Shabbos is that many poskim think, not everyone, is that things that take time are considered passive, as opposed to things that happen immediately, right, or more immediately, are considered active, right? So since, you know, as soon as you take the ice cubes out, they start freezing, right, as opposed to, like, you know, we all know, like, once you put in ice cubes, like, you know, if you didn't put it in a few hours before the meal, it's worthless because it takes so long. So we'll see. Rosh Hashanah will say that's already passive. That's like the, you know, the congealed fat, right? That it's mutter to put it near the heat and slowly to liquefy. The second question that poskim are going to ask is, okay, is this considered a change at all? From solid to liquid is a change, but from liquid to solid may not be a change, right? Why that's true? Well, let's look. So David Meisharim is the one who says it's Aser, right? This is who everybody quotes as a Yesh Machmirim. And he says as follows. He says, Ulfiza Yenistar Dvareinu Anal. He says, first of all, I might have thought, at first glance, I might have thought that whether making ice is Aser on Shabbos depends on whether or not you paskin like the Sefer HaTruma. Right? He says, I might have thought, Chikasavti Talib Sukhtas HaRamban of Sefer HaTruma, Dildas HaRamban Yeshari, you might have thought that according to the Rambam and the Ramban, right, that it's a problem of tochein. So, obviously, it's only a problem of crushing ice. It's not a problem of making ice, right? If it's tochein, it's vaday mutter, right? So he said his first possibility, which I didn't give you, but he just summarizes it here, is that according to the Rambam, it's mutter, right? According to Sefer HaTruma, it's aser. Because you're not allowed to have something new created, and presumably according to Rashi also. But then he backs off and he says, no, it's usher according to everybody. Why?
It's the Rabbanan here, right?
The Rabbanan. Yeah.
And cooking is deraisa. It has to make a fundamental difference, right?
Well, cooking for sure is deraisa.
No, I'm just saying.
You mean the congealed fat thing.
Right.
Yeah. But that we don't count as cooking, because you're not putting it on the fire, you're putting it near, so... but he says, He says, here I think it's vaday aser, according to everybody. Why? Nehi didaito b'shelo gubara, digamba odem krushim chashvin and mashke. V'yimkomokom zehu rak hecha she'ozeb mehem mashke, imkein, al chishav aleh lemashke, demahanigam vor b'shas nida hanel. Memela gamba ode karush chashiv mashke. So he says, why? How does this work? There's a rule in Tum and Tara that in order for something to be able to become Tameh, it needs to be Huchshar L'Gabal Tumah, right? It needs to touch a liquid, Bechavana, right? With intent. You need to get something wet intentionally. Now, one of the seven liquids is obviously water. Now, what happens if you have ice and it's melting on something? So, does that count as daito? So if the guy puts it there intentionally, right, even though when he put it, it was a solid, it does count. Because your chishiv aleh lamashka, because since your intent is for it to melt and the liquid to come out, that's called a liquid. So the Dovah Mesharim says like this. From a solid to a liquid, we paskin that if you had intent from the beginning that it was going to melt, then it's already as if you put a liquid on it, right? And that's why, even though you didn't actively put a liquid on the item, you just put the ice there, right? You put the snow there. Once it melts, it's as if you, right? It's considered that you put it there intentionally because you knew that the solid would melt. That tells you that the quality of liquidity is halachically inherent in the solid ice. So that's why the Ramban says there's no problem with nolad, because solid to liquid isn't enough of a change because the liquidity is inherent. It's as if it was always really a liquid just waiting to get back to that stage, and therefore the only reason it could be asur is if you crush it and it looks like tochein. But if you reverse the process, right, you're taking something from its natural state, right, and pushing it away from its natural state to freezing, that everyone will agree is creating something new, and therefore making ice cubes would be usher according to everybody, because the natural state of water is liquid. So allowing something to go from a solid to a liquid is allowing it to return to its natural state. That's not molad or nolad. It's not molad or nolad. That's not creating something new. But pushing something away from its natural state towards a solid is usher according to everybody. And therefore, he forbids making ice cubes. You're trying to remove its natural state. So then it's creating something new, and therefore it's asur to be chayagavna kafur shekaris lachashiv mashke. They came and shekain in lahatir aflat zorech bedok. On the other hand, Rishon Zalman says the exact opposite. So if you first look at the top, right, Rav Neuwirth writes tov li mana. Now, this is why all the English books, you think, you aren't allowed to make ice cubes, because they all come with the same thing. It's best to avoid it. You shouldn't put, if you can help it, water into the freezer. To make ice cubes. Unless you really, really need to. I never really understand this. Like, what is this? What is this? Everybody has this language, but what is this, like, earth-shattering need? I'm saying, we'll see it. I'll show you in a second. That's what I'm telling you. That is what Rabbi Miller says about whipped cream, right? If it's a sorech gadol, if it's an emergency, you're allowed to use whipped cream on Shabbos. Like, what? I don't know what he's talking about. But okay, fine. Aval mutter lades mayim latak ba'asamach knesset Shabbos. He says, what's for sure true is you're allowed to put it there right before Shabbos. V'achag, or before Yom Tov, amanaz lohov cham l'kubiyot kerach b'Shabbos u'v'chag. V'chein mutter lahaf'il m'v'yom mechono lasot kubiyot kerach b'meshach ha'Shabbat v'chag. And you're allowed to set in motion the machine that's going to do it by itself. That's also fine. And you can for sure use the freezer to make something cold and take it out before it freezes. Okay, fine. We'll leave that. That's a tefillah question. But if you look now down to Rosh Hashanah Zalman writes, right, that's, I put it in a different font, so you would see the, right, the footnote. So he says, why do I say it's asur? Because the David may show him. Asur mishum nolad afo das ramban acholik sefer truma. This sphere lay the mishelag l'mayim lo havei nolad v'hainu mishum the mishelag k'machashav l'mashka v'hei mashko kachshos and mishelag, etc. Right? You look down three lines, though, the last word in the line. Ach. He said, ach shamati me'agon rishon l'zaman orbach zatzal. The opposite. He says, mechevin shemavur b'simen shivchav, shimen shivchav, It seems like in Shulchan Aruch it says you're allowed to break off ice from, you know, that's sort of locking in your water to get the water that's inside. And no one says, well, aren't you not allowed to, you know, use the ice because of Nolad? He says, why? Yishloma durakim nasa mashke hu dechashiv asur. The lokish and ishtana ligriusa mimayim lekerach lechashke v'shofe gesoche tabuach. Dena mashke chashuv nolad. He said, let's go back to that same halacha, right? The same tumantara halacha. That ice, if you think about it and you intend for it to be liquid, that it's already liquid. What does that tell you? That it's inherently liquid. So that's why it's nolad or it's molad. Why? Because you're creating something significant. You're allowing the ice to go to a better state, to a natural state. But ice is an unnatural state, right? So he says, and this becomes important in halacha. Molad or nolad can only be, here he's talking about nolad, but the same may be true for molad, is only if you create something significant. But the primary state of, you know, ice, water, you know, water vapor is the liquid state. That's its quote-unquote natural state. It can only be nolad if you create, if you generate something's natural state. You bring it to something good and important. But ice is an unnatural state. It's temporary inherently. That can't be molad. That can't be nolad. Because something new has to be something significant, which is new. And ice, halachically, is objectively not. He says, l'dugma, it's like by shechita. Halachically, the Gemara says that the only fruit they ever squeezed were grapes and olives and some tutim rimonim, right? Berries and pomegranates, some people did. So it was also midrabbanan. But oranges, in the time of the Gemara, it was mutter to squeeze because nobody squeezed oranges. Who has orange juice? It's pasnish. It's garbage. It's, the Gemara says zeyab alma. It's the sweat of the fruit, right? So therefore, it's mutter. He said, well, halachically, that's how we view making ice, right? It's not significant. It's not important. It's not permanent. It's not... Now, nowadays, I would not tell you that you can squeeze oranges on Shabbos. I would tell you it's also mi d'oraisa, probably. Or maybe the rabbanan, depending on whether you think it's exerza kasav about grapes and olives. I remember I was in Shir with Rai Willig, and he said, I think nowadays oranges are mi d'oraisa, and grapes, I would tell you, they're d'rabbanan, because most people eat grapes plain. Wine is the minimum. I said, I was like, you know, this is like, he doesn't really use computers. So I looked it up on Wikipedia. I'm like, with all due respect, 95% of grapes grown in the world are wine grapes. I was like, it is still, you know, it was like something like 95% grapes and 97% of olives are still used for, you know, oil. I'm like, no, that is still vaday de araisa l'kol hadeos. But oranges are probably also de araisa, which is also in the 90% range. Fine. And then he says, he continues, and then whatever, he goes on. But his basic svara is that, you know, in the last line, that even Sefer HaTrumah, in a mayim chashevei nolad, v'lo asr b'diavad al menesha avar al esher molad, he said, you know what, maybe even, I would say even more, he said, maybe the Sefer HaTrumah didn't even think that water that comes out from ice is really nolad. What he thought is, we treat it as if it's nolad because you violated molad. But as long as I can explain why you didn't violate molad, it won't be nolad either. And therefore, Shlomo Zalman says, l'halacha, this is not true. That molad, right? So here we get a new addition, right? So first we saw molad in our sugya, right? Making the scent, and we saw their limitation that it's only creating something new and not creating something, you know, increasing the quantity of something. Now Rosh Shlomo Zalman has now introduced, and most posts can go with Rosh Shlomo Zalman, the notion that molad and nolad are only usur if the new thing you create is significant. And therefore, he argues that the water coming out of ice is significant because water is its natural state. Ice is insignificant halachically. And therefore, he argues that with that second caveat on molad and nolad, he permits making ice on Shabbos. L'chatchila, he says, you know, be machmer like the dove of Mesharim. Well, Rav Neuwirth does. Rav Shlomo Zalman doesn't. Rav Neuwirth suggests being machmer, but me'ikra din, he says you can make on. From what I saw in Poskim, Rov Poskim say... By Rove Poskim, I mean, most of the English books will tell you on top, you shouldn't make ice cubes on Shabbos, and the footnotes will all tell you, but you can if you really need to. Why? Because most Poskim say, okay, we'll show deference to Dovid Meisharim, but they accept this second argument of Rosh Shlomo Zalman, that molid is also limited, that it's only creating something significant, and ice is not called significant halachically. And that is sort of application two and principle two in molid.
So what about the reverse then? Based on his psak, if you have ice and it's melting to become water, that should be usher because that is...
Correct, you can't use the water. Right, that's exactly what we say.
So then what are you making the ice for on Shabbos?
You can put it straight in the cup, you just can't put it Right, but that's what the Gemara said, is you can put it straight in the, you can put it in your cup of water, right, because then it's not, then the, as it melts, it just, you don't see it,
right.
And that's not chashuv. It's, you can't take it and, you know, crush it up. Like, you couldn't make an ice cone, you know, you couldn't, you know, make ice cubes and then crush them up to make, like, a snow cone. That would be what would be usur. You know, that would be, you know, that the liquid comes, it makes it, you know, all come together, that would be usur.
Okay, coming back to one step, the case of the barad or shelag at the beginning, is that strictly for the purpose of cooling down another liquid, or because it sounds like it was actually for the usage of the, the water?
So, yeah, for the water. That's what it's, the primary time when it's usher is using the water independently.
Okay, so now getting back to our case now with ice cubes, forget about cooling something. Just putting ice cube into a cup, no grinding,
letting it melt,
and letting it melt.
That's usher.
That is usher.
That's for sure usher, correct.
Okay.
Well, no, meaning the water is going to be no lud. Right. I mean, according I take it back. I take it back. I take it back. Not definitely. According to the Rambam, it's mutter because it's only if you actively crush it.
Right.
According to Sefer HaTruma, it's vaday usur.
Right.
According to Rashi, it's probably also mutter because
okay,
you're not doing it actively.
But according to Reb Shlomo,
so that is the case of Shulchan Aruch, right? That the it's allowing the fat to the congealed fat to liquefy, right? That lechatchila we would oster it because of the Sefer HaTruma. B'di'eved we would be makel.
The congealed fat is the normal state. The liquid in the fat is not the normal state. So in this case,
it seems to depend on the Sefer HaTruma. The way the Rama says it is that lechatchila we're machmir like the Sefer HaTruma, so you wouldn't be allowed to use it. B'di'eved you'd be allowed to use it.
Right.
So if you have other water, don't use it. If you don't, you know. If you don't have water, so you do it.
I'm trying to try and figure out now. According to Shlomo, based on what he's just said, if forget to cool a cup, if you just put ice cubes in water, it appears he would say that's usur.
So he would say that's definitely usur according to the Sefer HaTruma, right?
Okay.
Right, meaning it's not usur according to the Rambam for sure because he didn't crush it. It's not usur according to it might be usur according to Rashi, right? Depending on how active you think that is, it's definitely usur according to the Sefer HaTruma. B'di'eved is probably mutter, right? Unless you think that Rashi would say that's Maraskin, but again, that's, you know,
okay.
Right? But it may not be molet, right? It depends on whether you think that's enough of an act of molet. I didn't give you all the poskim. Some of the other poskim say that no, the problem is how much time it takes. You know, ice starts melting immediately and you recognize it, and therefore that's molet, and in which case, yes, even according to Rishon Lezalman, or according to those poskim, according to Rashi, who we do poskim like, it would be usur to have that water, even b'di'eved. If you think that even Rashi requires merazgin, so then it would be mutter, right? It depends. So that's really the third question in Molid, right? Is
how much action?
Right, how much action? Do you need, in different poskim, express it differently, right? Some say that no, putting ice out is already an action, but putting water in a freezer isn't an action because it takes too much time for it to be recognizable in any way, shape, or form. And that slowness, I didn't give you all the postcum because it's not just a share on ice, but some of the postcum go in that direction. Fine. This notion that that one of the things you need to figure out to decide whether something's molid or nolud is how much of a change really took place, it becomes important for the whipped cream discussion. So I just gave you the summary in 16 from Rabbi Mann. Right, using whipped cream. So he said the most serious issue is molid, creating a new reality by changing the phase of an object. So some say that similarly, one may not turn a liquid into a solid, like freeze water, make ice cubes, the dovid meisharim. We dealt with this issue in Chemda Yomim and cited strong grounds for leniency. So Rabbi Mann says he thinks you can make ice cubes on Shabbos. Orchot Shabbos then says that even those who forbid making ice cubes would permit spraying whipped cream from a canister because the only purpose of the cream in the canister is to be turned into whipped cream, right? Right? That is the point, right? So he said, if you can accept the principle that molid is only creating something significant, and you could reject it and say you can't make ice cubes, because that is significant, right? But even if you accept the application by ice cubes, if you reject the application by ice cubes, you can accept the application by whipped cream, right? Meaning you can accept fundamentally the principle that molid and nolud can only be when you create something fundamentally new.
I thought when you talked about making whipped cream, I thought cream when you start whipping it. We're not talking about that at all, right? That would be usur, right?
I assume that would be usher, yeah. Potentially.
But that's how you used to make whipped cream, right?
Used to. I haven't made. I mean, already does that she's cooking, but not for like ice cream.
I don't know how old you are, Gerard.
I don't remember.
My old.
Yeah. No, no, I meant this. He said, on the other hand, here one actively and directly, with the press of a button, creates the foam, right? Right. So he said, but he says it goes in both directions, right? But it goes in both directions. Oh, sorry, I did put that change in time in Rosh Hashanah, but I'll read it here. So on the other hand, here one actively and directly, with the press of a button, creates the foam, as opposed to putting water in a freezer, which only provides a cold setting for the slow process of freezing to begin, right? So he says, on the one hand, right, there's two things you have to judge by Molid and by Molid. One is, how new is the thing you're creating? Two is, how much of an act did you do to get there, right? Ice cubes, the Mikilim, say that putting in the freezer is too slow of an action, so there's a lack in the action of Molid. Or, because of formal halachic reasons, ice is not significant, and therefore the result is not important, right? You could reject that for whipped cream in either direction, right? You could say that, in principle, Molid is only when you do an act. Creating ice cubes is not significant enough because it takes too much time, but whipped cream is immediate. But if you look at from the vantage point of the result, right, ice cubes are clearly more significant. There's more of a change from water to ice than there is from whatever exactly is in the whipped cream canister the foam.
What gas is it?
Yeah,
nitrogen?
It's a liquid. It's a liquid plus like some nitric stuff.
Yeah,
which pushes it out. It's the same problem with the soaps, right? The foaming soaps, right? The exact same problem. So he said, if you look at the action, you could do it, but he says, right, Willick told me another reason for leniency, the change from a thick liquid to a foam is not enough to be considered molded. One can make the argument that it's forbidden to spray whipped cream from a canister, common practice to permit it. Since we have shown the halachic basis for the practice, we do not feel it's necessary to change it, right? So what principles have we seen so far? So we saw principle one with a bit of an argument of exactly, molded. First question, do we possibly like molded at all? Rambam? No. Right? Rashi? Yes. Reb Avadia Svardi Psak? Maybe. Right? But anytime there's any room for a kula, he would be Mekel. Mm-hmm. Then we saw the next principle from the case of the Molalo is that increasing quantity is not Molid, only creating a new entity. We saw a bit of a discussion of what that means, but that was principle two. Principle three and four in Molid was Molid is only when you do an act that is deemed significant. Again, we saw machlokas, what that means, right? Is putting something in a freezer significant? David Misharim clearly thinks yes. Shmuel Zalman thinks no, because it takes too much time. Principle four is, in order for something to be molid, right, the result has to be qualitatively new, not a minor change. Hence, now, Dovah Meisharim, Shmirah Shabbos, they all accept that. They just argue about whether creating ice is significant, but the principle that Molid needs to create something significant, they both accept. So therefore, la halacha, ice cubes, right? Shlomo Zalman says it's mutter because it lacks two things. One is it lacks the quality in the result, right? It's not significant halachically because ice is not the natural state of water. Two is it lacks the necessary requirement that in order for something to be molded, you need to do something. But freezing isn't called doing something because it takes too long. The Dovah Meisharim rejects both of those applications and says, no, turning something to ice is an action because you're moving something away from a natural state. You're creating something new. And two, he must hold that putting something in a freezer is an act. But they both accept the principles that molded is only creating something new actively and creating something new qualitatively. La halacha, rov poskim, except Rosh Hashanah Zalman's arguments that making ice fundamentally is mutter. It's neither considered a significant action nor a significant result. Lechatchila, they tell you not to do it, but b'diavad, they all say it's fine. Most say it's fine. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just saying that looking at all the poskim, I was shocked that, as I usually am whenever I read the English books, and then I bother to look in the sugya again, how misleading the top of the page on all the English books is, because most poskim say it's really, really mutter, it's just lechatchila, you should be machmir. What about whipped cream? So there, again, you have the exact same thing. There, a man notes, on the one hand, you could say that you're pressing the button and it happens immediately. But Pashto says no, is that that's not an act, and therefore it's not a problem of molid. And the difference between whatever foamy whipped cream was in the canister and the that which comes out is so insignificant. And as we all know, right, whipped cream lasts in that foamy state for like a minute, right? You put it on top of your ice cream and you eat it now,
unless
right?
You whip your own cream.
Unless you whip your own cream, in which case
it lasts longer.
Sure, great. When you do, if you do that, I didn't even like look into it. Honestly, it didn't cross my mind. No, it just didn't.
What's changing? You're changing cream into whipped cream.
No, I understand. It didn't cross my mind because I've never done it. Uh-huh. I've just never. Ora has for like, you know, like trifles and stuff like
right.
that. But I didn't like. I never really thought about it too much. I'll be honest. No one's ever asked me the Shaila. People, this Shaila comes up all the time, right? People love this Shaila. Like I was saying, in Clanton Park, this is like, you know, because right, Weber is Machmir and right, Miller is Makil, right? So like, you know, I said, right, Miller.
They're looking for someone.
Yeah, I told you, right? Well, I told you, right? Miller,
okay.
According to the, you know, the From Toronto email, right? Miller says, Lechatchila should be Machmir, but in a case of pressing need, you can be Makil. Again, I don't know what this pressing need for whipped cream is.
I presume it would be a medical emergency.
The ice, I understand. That's what the Post-Kim say. Like, you need
an ice pack, vadai.
An ice pack, vadai, they say, is fine because, you know, it's only Lechatchila or Machmir, right? But whipped cream, I don't know what this pressing need is. The minug is to be makil. The pressing need is I want whipped cream on whatever I'm eating for dessert. That seems to, you know, it comes up mostly, Shavuos it comes up all the time because everyone wants whipped cream on Shavuos, right? Again, but those same, but you see that the principles they're arguing about are the same, right? In order for something to be molded, it needs to be a new quality, not an increase in quantity. It needs to be a significant act of creation. The result has to be significant. Right? All those things need to be met in order to be molded. They're arguing about which they are. Halacha, I think most posts can say that make it right then. You're allowed to make ice cubes, and you're allowed to use the whipped cream dispenser. Okay, that is sugya number two. What time is it? We have 5 minutes. We can quickly look at sugya number three, which is just 17 to 19 here. Is another Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara says, Rabbi Reb Zera Iklu Lebe Reish Galusia. So they went to visit Reish Galusia. Chazyu Elahu Avda Da Anach Kuzah Da Maya Apuma De Kumkuma. And they saw somebody putting this hot water bottle, you know, they put putting something on top of this hot water bottle, and it was a Mecham Al Gabe Mecham, as Tosfos notes. Right, like it's two steps removed from the heat. And Nazeh Rabbah, he you know yelled at him. So I'm really Rizera, Maishnam Mechem Avagam Mechem. Isn't this like, you know, isn't this just a Mechem Al Gabe Mechem? So he says no. Hasam Ukume Kamokim Hachem Olude Kamolid. Right, he says no. By a Mechem Al Gabe Mechem, you're maintaining heat, but here you're adding heat, and that's molid. Right, whatever exactly how you know you imagine this case, but you're taking something which was right. That's right. Tosus is right. Said kasher l'rida b'risa gufa d'shara mecham agabe mecham. The Rambam though is what's important here, and he'll summarize the whole thing. He says manichan mecham agabe mecham b'shabes ukedera agabe kedera agabe kedera ukedera agabe mecham umecham agabe kedera. Right, you can put. Right, water heater on top of water heater, and a pot on top of a pot. Right, all these things are mutter. Right, these are two steps removed from the source of the fire. V'tachbiyam b'batzek, and you can cover them with a dough. Lo b'shvil shiyachmu, not so they become heat. El shibishvil shiyamdu al chomam, right, to maintain heat. Shlo asru el hatman b'shabbos, because you can't insulate on Shabbos. V'al niach klicham, al gabi klicham, but to put something which is already hot and something which is hot. Kadesh yu omdin b'chamimusan mutter, to maintain heat. That is mutter. Aval, and this is how he understands the right Gemara. Ein manichin kli sheyesh bo davar tzonin. You can't take something which is actually cold and put it al gabe kli cham b'shabes and put it on something hot. Why? Sharei molid bo chom b'shabes. It's not a problem of cooking. It's a problem of molid chom. And this is where we confuse the sugya infinitely because the postures in this sugya is that it had nothing to do with molid. That when it said mulude kama molid, it meant it's some sort of dirabanan cooking, right? The Rambam takes it, and the Rambam who didn't believe in molid for mugmar and didn't believe in molid for ice believes that creating heat on Shabbos is a problem of molid. He thinks creating heat is usur, and you get, you know, we'll see that probably in 2 weeks. That we have a sugya in Lamed Gimel, which seems to imply this as well. Now, the big halachic issue, it looks like there's a lot more left. There really isn't. Because starting at 27, I just gave you an article to read, you know, so you can look at all the makoros, you know, sort of summarizing the issue of electricity. But just to indicate where this is going, the molid chom sugya, leaving aside the cooking one, right? What case is clearly molid chom and not cooking, according to most poskim? And this is the shayla of hand warmers on Shabbos, right? Mm-hmm. Is, you know, those chemical hand warmers on Shabbos, right? You open it up and, you know, it stays warm for 24 hours. So that, the poskim ask, is that usur because of the Rambam? That molid, he doesn't think the other two are molid, but creating heat, right, even without ish, right, that seems to be what he's saying, is a problem of molid because creating heat is molid, right? So is that a problem? So that will come to, is there the poskim suggest that maybe that is usur, Mishum Molid, or not, for reasons that we'll see. This becomes important. There's a lot of chuvot on this, not for all the people skiing on Shabbos, but because of in the army. Right? That was the first time I got this shayla. I got this shayla when I was in yeshiva, and I was in the kollel. Someone called me. He's like, I can't tell you where I am, but I'm somewhere, you know, on a mountaintop, you know, and it's freezing, and I'm going to be there for Shabbos. Can I use this? And I told him at the time, and we'll see why, that it's a machlokas. Some poskim is going to say it's mutar lechatchila. Some poskim say no, it's molid chom, and it's also midir abanan. But since it's only midir abanan, it's not the rice of bishul. It's midir abanan of molid. So, because hakol chol meitzel hakor, everyone is considered sick when it's at least by extreme cold, and this is a security situation. You don't have a choice. You have to be there for the next 24 hours in your, you know, hole on a mountaintop somewhere in the Hermon or whatever it is, right? It's mutter to use it. I noted that to him at the time that, you know, after clarifying, it wasn't such a shayla because realistically these things last for 24 hours, right? You can do it a minute before Shabbos and you'll have it till almost the end of Shabbos, right? The army grade ones, okay, last 24 hours. The one he had was 24 hour ones. Some of them last like 10 hours, 5 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, but there are army ones that they use that last for 24 hours. And the same thing we'll come to, which is about molid ore, which is the next sugya in 20, is the neon light sticks, which they also use in the army, right? Because I'm not sure exactly why. I think it's because they don't need the batteries or something, but the light is less. You know, it provides light, but I think it's less seeable by, by people who are searching for you. I'm not exactly sure what the svara is, but they use sometimes these neon light sticks, right? That's molid, or which is the sugya in 20. And maybe, yeah, okay, fine.
But wouldn't the hot plate on a timer now be a problem?
So I don't want to get into the question of Bishul and exactly what case this is, but no, a hot plate is fine, right? I don't want to exactly get into what this case is. And how this is different from everything else. I don't want to get into this. Again, the point is, they want to pull out even the Rambam thinks under some circumstances creating heat is a problem of molid, even though he denied molid in the other two sugya. There is one sugya, right? If it wasn't confusing enough, there's one sugya where the Rambam introduces molid when everyone else thinks it's about bishul. He thinks it's about molid. Everyone else thinks it's about bishul, presumably, and therefore the hot plate is subject to all the rules of bishul. And, you know, however we... Now, the truth is that most poskim... This is not how I poskim, because I'm Talmud Rai Willick, but I don't know most. Many poskim will tell you, yes, a hot plate is exactly like this, and therefore you can't put something directly on a hot plate. You have to put it on another pan, and they turn the tinfoil over, so it's mecham agave mecham, and that's exactly why they say you have to do it. Right? Rai Willick thinks it's not true, because he thinks that a hot plate is definitionally gar fukatum, because you can't, especially the non-adjustable ones, and thinks you can always put things directly on a hot plate, which is what I do. I'm not telling you you can do it, I'm telling you that's what I do. But you can take from that whatever you want, right?
I think Rav Gigi is machmir.
So Rav Gigi is machmir, but he writes that he's only machmir on the Israeli ones, because the Israeli ones are hotter than the American ones, yeah. And Israelis cook on their hot plates, and Americans don't. And therefore, he normally says also, but if you in the Sefer, he says, he's not sure, but he thinks he would only be machmir on the Israeli hot plates, which people use to cook because they're hotter, but the American ones that are made only to keep food warm, he would be meikel because lav derech bishul lakach. So
pretty hot.
What? Yeah, but you can't really cook. I mean, whatever. I'm a Talmud Frey Willick. I at home am meikel on it. I know that many people are not. I know that Rosh Hashanah Zalman was not. I'm like significant poskim here are machmir, but yeah, it's a function of this and many others are good. But I can't get into detail of bishul because bishul took me 6 weeks of only doing bishul to just cover the main sugyas, right? So I don't want to. Yeah, Mola's going to take us enough time, you know, 3 weeks. I don't need to do 3 months on bishul. Okay, just go ahead.